What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online when the game starts.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Boss Man Show, go up to Smithfield, Rhode Island, to the Bryant Bulldogs, my man, Coach Bill Montoya Jr. on the Boss Man Show. Coach, good to see you, man. What's up there in Rhode Island with you guys?
Boss Man, it's great to be with you. I really appreciate you, taking the time to talk here. And things are good. We're just diving headfirst into that transfer portal every single day this time of year.
I said, man, for you, man, I'm asking you, been around the game as long as you have, man. How has it changed with the NIL and the portal, having to kind of recruit your guys every day to make sure you keep them halfway happy, and you still may not keep them? So how has that been, man, this whole new world we're in of college hoops, man?
Yeah, it has changed dramatically the last, 3 or 4 or 5 years here with obviously the NIL stuff, with the transfer portal, really becoming wide open, where pretty much anybody can transfer at any time. Yeah, the COVID year, with guys still playing with the extra year. So it's been wild. I mean, it is so dramatically different than anything that I knew growing up around this game, with my father being a longtime coach and then, me coaching the last 20 years. It's really different, but, you have to adapt and you have to adjust to it. And, I think we've done a good job of that. And, we have a history of dealing with transfers. It's just a little bit different now. In this program, and how you get them and the conversations you're having and the things that they're, the things they're asking are different than what they asked, 4 or 5 years ago, because there is NIL and there is, well, who's coming and who's going. And, you look at rosters, you don't know who's on whose roster anymore, really until the first game of the season.
Well, it's kind of like you're almost a GM now, kind of like you have your own live 2K game, just because you got to, each year is holding roster every year pretty much. It's kind of like a 1 year rental now. Hey, this is the roster this year. It'll be that way next year. So you have to kind of really have your eyes open to what's ahead of you and in the present as well.
No doubt. And it's funny because, it's crazy how things happen. I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. And I was an assistant at the University of Delaware. We won our championship in 2014. our head coach and we had a new AD. They didn't get along great. 2 years later, we were fired. And I was kind of in between. I didn't know where I was going to go, what I was going to do. And the college jobs that were presenting themselves weren't great. And I took a job in the with the Sixers that ultimately had me in the D-League. At the time, it was the D-League, now the G-League. But we had 31 guys play for us in 50 games. And the way that that was constructed very much leads to the way you construct your roster now and what you try to do with keeping returning guys, but adding, hey, we need this piece, we need that piece. You know, and what I keep saying is a lot of people go into the transfer portal. It's like the old, remember you go to the arcade and there's the claw machine, right? You put your dollar in, the claw comes down and pulls something out. I think a lot of people have approached the transfer portal that way. They just put their dollar in, they let the claw drop, and whatever comes out, comes out. Where what we've tried to be is really intentional with what we're doing, who we're bringing in, you know, who those guys are, what, you know, what it looks like in terms of a fit for our program and our needs. And, you know, we could get a commitment today that could change what that next need is. So we're not just going cookie cutter and just saying, oh, we're going to bring these five guys in and they don't really mesh, you know, it has to mesh. So, you know, we've tried to be really intentional with that. And that time in the D-League, dealing with that and dealing with constant, hey, trades and waivers and this and that. And does this guy fit? And if he comes, then do we have to move that guy? That's how I feel now. You know, that experience has really helped me with that.
And, you know, now back in our day, by then you almost same age, coach, but same age. It was October 15th when we started practicing. Now, yep. At least you have them in the spring, summertime for 8 weeks now. And because we're having a whole new roster now, have to build chemistry in that mesh. So having the summertime, having the pre-fall practice time now, and to get this team, guess what, you're not coming, rolling the ball October 15th, saying, hey, we got a game in 3 weeks, let's try to make it work.
No, you're exactly right. It's funny you say that because right before we jumped on here, I was sitting at my desk and I was going through in my mind, I was like, what is that summer stuff going to look like? And not the basketball piece, but the chemistry piece. You know, what are the things that we can do to kind of build that camaraderie, put them in different situations where they, you know, they you know, is it some community service? Is it some sort of, you know, whatever, get them up in front of the team and kind of talk about their backgrounds and their lives, because that's really vital, is you've got to find a way to build that chemistry and build that bond in a very, very short amount of time. And the summer, I think, is a great time to do that, because for the most part, you should have all your guys there. There's not class. There's not all that extra stuff. It's workouts. You know, maybe they're taking one summer class, but the rest of their time, you have time to say, all right, let's come together and go do something. Let's go to, you know, mini golf, whatever it is, just try to get them away to find, because they don't realize they've all been through things. You know, everyone goes through their stuff and they think, well, I'm the only person that's ever had to deal with this or go through this. And then you sit in a room, like we had three guys last year that I had in a room at one point. And I was like, you realize all three of you went through really tough seasons with injury, where you missed a season with a really bad injury. And how do you deal with that? And how'd you do? And they got them talking, and it's three guys that came from completely different places. You know, that now all of a sudden they were like, oh yeah. Oh you, yeah. I had that. Oh man, I did the same thing. And now you have that, you know, there's that commonality and that bond, because you have to find a way to manufacture it quick.
100%, coach. Like you said, man, and that's what helps you in the tough times during the year, man. Like, if this is truly my brother, we're on the same page, because I trust this guy. It's like, hey, blows a few games, miss a bad shot, take a bad shot, have a horrible turnover. Hey, hold you accountable to my guys. It's coming from love. Not hate, or I don't know where you're coming from with your child of me, because I don't know you like that. So it's very important to have that bond, because you can hold other accountable easier that way. They won't be hostile when you do.
No, there's no doubt. There's no doubt, because that's what, you know, they say it in coaching all the time, right? Like, they don't care what you know, you know, until they know you care. And it's the same with teammates. You know what I mean? It's the same with teammates, that the teammates you were closest with were the ones that you could get on the hardest, or could get on you the hardest. And there has to be that accountability. And it starts with the returning guys, and we got a good returning group. You know, it really will start with them, you know, and I'll put the onus on them when guys start coming in to say, look, you need to let them know, like, this is what we're about. This is who we're trying to be and what we're about. I'll preach it, but they've got to be in there every day, you know, living it and echoing it. You know, and I'm pretty confident with the group we have back that that will happen.
And you're right about that, coach, man, because like I know when I played, us upperclassmen was doing it. We was ones holding everybody accountable. We've been there 2 years already, 3 or 4 years. We know what the deal was. And so we set that same culture. I said, you pass along to your underclassmen as well. We get given to you. So I feel like you have a player-led situation where the culture from the players down, given to the young ones, you will have something that's sustainable. Now, of course, in our day, it was sustainable, not the whole every year in the team, but that having the guys who've been there to say, hey, I've been through this before. I know what this is about. But I know what the diner hall is, how to deal with financial aid, records. All that stuff matters when you've been there already to help the guys come in new.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And it's funny because we talk to those guys about that all the time. Like, just that comfort level. You know, we've had a bunch of transfers take big jumps in 1 year, but the guys that have been with us for like 2 or 3 years, the jumps that they've taken, and I bring that same stuff up all the time. Like, just knowing where to go eat makes you feel more comfortable, helps you with keeps your mind clear, you know, when you're on that court and when you're doing your work there. So that stuff is huge, and it does. You need those people that can kind of embrace those guys, those new guys, because they're coming into a new situation. They feel a certain way. You know, they got certain, you know, anxiousness with that and certain, you know, things that they're feeling that you need somebody to put their arm around them and say, we got you. Here's where to go. Come with me. You know, I'll show you where to go. I'll show you who to talk to. And, you know, before you know it, you know, you feel like you're at home, and that's what we want.
100%. And you know what, man? You all have a history of winning up there, Bryant, man. So it's a winning culture up there. This year you got 20 wins, 11-5 in the American East Coast. Talk about that, man. How proud are you winning your team, playing that well for you in year one for you, and winning that tough American East? I know Vermont usually wins the league. We got to be overcome in the playoffs, but, man, tough league. But you got 11 wins in that tough league, man.
Yeah, no, this was a really 1-9, really competitive year in the league. You know, and I'm proud. I am proud. I keep saying, though, like, we have unbelievable support. And everywhere I go, whether it's when I leave my office on campus or when I'm in the community, you know, at my kids' events or different things like that, you know, people constantly come up and say, man, that was a good year. It was a good year. And it was. It was a good year. And I'm appreciative of that. But we have a hunger that we want to have great years, you know, and we want it to be, you know, I want a year from now to be back on with you and be talking about a great year. And that's what we're striving for every day. So very proud and appreciative of the work that everybody did. Our administration, from our athletic director, Bill Smith, and his staff, up to our president, Ross Cattell, and his staff, the board of trustees, all these people were so super supportive of us. Our staff did an incredible job. I couldn't ask for a better group of guys to work with every day. And then our players, ultimately, they're the ones that win the games. You know, coaches just get in the way of that. You know, they won the games. They went out there 20 times, put it on the line, and won. So, you know, I'm very, very appreciative of everybody involved. And I appreciate the, hey, good year, good year, good year. I appreciate that. I'm thankful for everybody for those well wishes and that support. But I want to be talking about something bigger and better things, you know, going forward. And that's what we're striving for every day.
100%. And now, Coach Martelli, since you have the schedule now, how are you going to go about trying to schedule these games, non-conference, where I don't have to raise some money for the school? So how do you kind of balance challenging your team in the non-conference, but getting them ready with some confidence for the American East as well?
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, we had a really tough schedule this year and you know, highlighted with winning on the road at Florida Atlantic when they were number 10 in the country. And I think we're the only team to beat them there in whatever, 2 or 3 years. So, you know, that was certainly a highlight of the season. But, you know, yeah, we always play a tough schedule. You know, this past year it was Rutgers, it was Florida Atlantic, it was Ole Miss, it was Cincinnati, Xavier, Howard, you know, came to us and, you know, went to the NCAA tournament. Towson was very good. Drexel was near the top of the Colonial or Coastal Athletic Association now. So, yeah, we play a tough schedule. To be honest with you, it's been hard for us to get games regionally. When we first got here and we weren't good, everybody wanted to play Bryan. And I guess it is a little bit of a compliment, but, you know, it can be frustrating at times that, you know, we're trying to get local, you know, some of the local teams to play and they won't play, you know, but I do get that too. And so, yeah, well, I mean, we'll play, you know, we'll go pretty much anywhere. You know, there's a couple schools down in Atlanta I'd love to play and get down there and you know, see you in person, see you on the sidelines. You know, so we'll go, especially places like that, that we can get direct out of Providence or out of Boston, you know, and get down there. But we're putting it together. We still have, you know, still waiting on some contracts and things, but, you know, we'll have a similar schedule. We're going to play, you know, really good high major teams. We're going to play really good mid-major teams. And I do believe that that gets you ready. You know, if we hadn't played that schedule we played this year, I don't know if we win 11 games. I don't know if we go into the environments we go into in league play and win, or, you know, on those tough, you know, 2 games in 3 days, you know, if we'd be ready for that. So we try to schedule with an intent of being ready for those games.
Well, you know, Coach, no, Pitt is my guy. It's Kennesaw Jones and I went to high school together. And Damon's a buddy, so I can definitely help you out with those guys, Coach.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, it's funny seeing Amir, Jonas, and Jarvis, who's over to school with Coach Lennon's
high level. No, it's unbelievable. And those guys have done a hell of a job. Each of them has done, you know, they really have done a great job. So there's something. You guys found some secret to success. You know, we should all be studying whatever was going on down there.
I was like, look here, you all can coach. At least when I have a radio show, I have longevity. I work my get fired. I'm going to go fire myself.
I like that. But when I was growing up, when I got to the point, you know, probably in about 7th, 8th grade, I realized, you know, I either wanted to coach or I wanted to do what you're doing. So those were the two things, you know, I wanted, you know, like anybody growing up, I wanted to play in the NBA, but, you know, I started to get to like 8th grade and I'm looking around going, I don't see a whole lot of slow, unathletic 5'10" white guys in that NBA. So I don't know if it's going to work. So that was my fallback was coaching or do the media stuff. I love sports talk radio. So I was always listening to that. But yeah, there's plenty of days I think like, man, we could have reversed this. I could be doing this. You could be up here, chasing guys in and out of the portal.
Man, you know what, Coach? It's funny. You know, my dad was a coach. My dad was like, he they want to get a coach. So I said, Dad, I don't want. I'm too competitive, and plus, I probably get fired for cussing out, saying the wrong thing. So let me just be in the media, because see, people who know me, I laugh. Have a potty mouth off the air, but on the air, keep it together.
Got to keep it clean. Yeah, there you go. That's it.
So they be like, "How do you keep on the air?" But we out having a drink. You just firing off F bombs.
Oh, jeez.
So yeah, that's man, funny. It comes out, Coach. It comes out, man. But yes, but I love this. Is the best gig in the world, man. And for you, let me ask you this, man. As growing up, I didn't have a coach as your father, man. How cool is it to watch games with your dad, seeing your dad chart things out and kind of watch the game from a different level as a kid? I know for me, I can't watch bad basketball like normal people do. I'm looking at what you're doing defensively, how they're guarding the ball, what you're doing on the backside here and front side. I'm looking at it from a different perspective. So how is it for you trying to watch games, man, just as a fan? No, for me, I have a hard time. I'm looking at different stuff, not just the game itself.
Yeah, I don't really watch it ever as a fan. You know, I say it all the time. Like the one team that I say I'm a fan of is, and this will get me in trouble in Atlanta, is the Philadelphia Phillies. I love the Phillies because I can watch baseball as a fan. I can just sit there and watch the game and be invested in it as a fan. I can't do that with basketball, you know, and whether it's watching a college game, a pro game, an AU game, you're just – you're either evaluating a player or you're watching a scheme or you're trying to pick something up. But I do love that part of it. You know, I do love that part of it. Now, I will say it was way more stressful. And now my dad will get a taste of this now that he's retired and will be watching my games more intently. Like, it's more stressful on that side. It's more stressful watching your loved one coach their team or whatever than it is actually in coaching, you know, and coaching the games. Like, you know, that definitely prepared me for the stress level of like, all right, you know, being invested and being locked in. But, and now I have an 8th grade son, he was 14, and I see it with him. Like, and he's so locked into even more so than I ever was. I think a lot of it's the internet and everything's so readily available that, you know, when we were growing up, you couldn't do that. Like, you watched whatever game was on TV, your local game, and, you know, maybe you caught Big Monday and there was a couple college games on and, you know, but you couldn't go back and replay them or watch them, you know, where now he's coming to me with like, you know, different schemes and different things people do. I'm like, how do you know that? You know, like, how do you, you know, but you know, so he's a coach in the making in and of himself. So, yeah, it's hard to watch it as a fan, but I will watch the Phillies, you know, whoop up on the Braves in the playoffs, you know, and I'll be a big fan then.
Man, you know, it's funny story, Coach. I was a Braves bat boy.
Were you really?
Yes. Wow. So I was around the 90s Braves, man. So yep. I got to see the Braves win a World Series as a bat boy.
All the Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones and the Glavins and the Maddoxes and the man, so, those were
in the days when you have a Schilling versus Maddox matchup, the game was open 2 hours.
Yes, yeah. I was at game 6 in 93 with my dad and my brother. We were in the 700 level veteran stadium in Philadelphia when the Phillies won in 93, and you know, we never won, so it was like to win that was crazy. And I remember leaving the parking lot and my dad trying to turn onto Broad Street, and there was just people everywhere, people on top of SEPTA buses, the public city bus. I mean, it was crazy. But yeah, we're I love the Phillies. I love watching the Phillies. I love the little rivalry they got with the Braves now. I mean, the Braves get us in the regular season pretty good, but somehow we found a way to get them in the playoffs. So
Yeah, do you remember this, watching the Braves games on TBS at 7:35 after Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Yep. Absolutely.
Then we watched WGN at 3:20 to watch the Cubs. So those were the days we had those stations. You didn't realize the Superstation days, but where we grew up, like, we could watch two teams at least every day during summertime.
Yeah, that is the truth. And the Cubs were always on during the day, so there was something on during the day, and Braves were at night, and for me, our local, Phillies were playing. You'd be able to watch them. Yeah, those were great times.
And then down here, we got the sports channels. We get the Reds games too down here.
Wow.
On the sports channel.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, so we got the Reds and the Braves when we was growing up down here, man. So yeah, another quick story, Coach. I was also Atlanta Hawks ball boy.
Wow.
Because the Hawks used to practice their moves.
Yeah.
Up until 1999. So I grew up about 5 minutes from Morehouse. I'll be over there at practice watching the Hawks practice at Morehouse back in the day.
Wow.
So I've been around sports my whole life.
Yeah, that's pretty cool right there. Especially those times down in Atlanta. You had some good ones. A lot of Hall of Famers walking through those two organizations.
Yeah. I saw Jordan in 97. If you remember, we beat them in Chicago. It was 1-1. Yep. I thought we had a chance. They came into the Omni and destroyed us that weekend. Yep.
Mike said, no way. He wasn't letting that happen.
So I've seen some great basketball, man, and great baseball in my life. Not much of a Falcons guy. I don't really do with the Falcons, man. But yeah, the Hawks and Braves are my two teams for sure, man.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, and yes, indeed. Well, Coach, man, I'm gonna ask you this, man, before we go, last question for you. Like, for you, man, when you're not coaching hard, man, chasing these kids in and out of gyms, man, how to kind of just get away from the game and just some time for you and your family, man?
Yeah, I'm just, I got three kids. You know, my wife, Megan, is she's a saint, and she played. Her dad's a high school coach, so we're always around it somehow, some way. You know, but my three kids, Phillip's 14, my daughter Mara just turned 12, she's in sixth grade, and then my little guy Nate is 6 years old, he's in kindergarten. So yeah, they're always, I'm waiting on the text from my wife right now to say, hey, this afternoon, you know, Mara's got soccer, then she's got dance, then she's got basketball, Phillip's got basketball, Nate's got baseball, and you know, we find a way. So, but I love it. I love watching them, you know, do the things that they love and you know, having fun and just enjoying themselves. And yeah, that's really it for me. Like, I'm not I don't have a whole lot of hobbies. I don't have a lot else. You know, I obviously fully invested in our program here at Bryant and fully invested in my family, you know, really in probably reverse order, you know, my family, then Bryant. But yeah, that's what I do. I just go, and we're at a kid's game, a volleyball game, a soccer game, a baseball game, a basketball game, whatever, you know, a dance recital, you know, taking my little guy to a birthday party this week, you know, whatever it is, that's kind of, that's my downtime. And, you know, just sitting and hanging out with them and, you know, relaxing is always a beautiful thing. And getting down to the Jersey Shore in the summertime, that's always my, you know, in August, getting down there and taking a week or 10 days to get away and unwind. That's always my light at the end of the tunnel.
I hear that, brother. Hey, well, Coach, hope I see you in the live period. I'll be at a Lake Point. I'll be at the Beach Jam and at Rock Hill. So hopefully I'll see you one of them events, man. We'll catch up, man. But it's good. Hey, I'll have you on the show, man. I was a big fan of your dad's was at St. Joe's, man. So good to have you on the show as well. The relationship with you, man, going forward, brother.
Yeah, anytime, boss, man. I really appreciate you.
Thanks, brother. Thank you so much for your time today, brother.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right.
BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on BS3Network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline. When the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.